Welcome back to PJs and Prosecco. You guys, I am so, so excited. We are having our first guest on the podcast. That's right. It is none other than my spiritual mentor, Pam, or you'll find her as Pamela Unicorn out on socials. She is an acclaimed author, a deck creator, a manifestation mentor, and a coach for spiritual entrepreneurs. She is sharing in this episode all about her journey into the world of manifestation, starting her business, growing from a place of authenticity, all the magic and power she's discovered, money spells. Man, we are really covering it all. She also shares a lot about herself, from her love for Asian dramas to past brushes with fame. You are not going to want to miss this, you guys. She is so, so amazing. I'm so excited for you guys to get in on her magic today inside PJs and Prosecco. Hello, babes. Welcome to PJs and Prosecco. Our show is dedicated to making spirituality fun, approachable, and real. You're already spiritually gifted, so I'm here to help you understand how to use those gifts to create your dream life. I'm your host, Emily Gornick, aka The Rich Witch Next Door, your certified spiritual coach and mentor, here to make healing, growth, and soul alignment feel less like a chore and more like a vibe by combining the woo with mindset magic. Think deep, soul-stirring conversations with a side of sparkle, hosted in pajamas, Prosecco in hand, of course. So whether we're talking intuition, healing, or manifesting your dream life, just know you belong here. So cozy up in your PJs, grab your Prosecco, and let's dive in. Yay! Hi, Pam. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Emily. I'm so excited to be here. Hi, everyone.
Oh, Pam, my very first podcast guest.
Woo!
All the energy, all the things. So, Pam, I would love if you could just give everyone a little rundown on yourself, what you do, all the things.
So I'm Pamela Chen, or Pamela Unicorn, and I am an author, a deck creator for Little Island Worldwide, Hay House, and US Games, and I am also a manifestation mentor and a coach for spiritual entrepreneurs. My business partner, Alexandra Hanley, and I, we train the next generation of leaders and mystics to become really powerful healers and energetic practitioners. And when I'm not doing all of the things, the retreats, the coaching, the writing, I love to watch like Asian drama, like Korean or Chinese drama. I hang out with my chickens and I love to eat Cheetos.
I mean, those are some fun facts. And you guys, Pam and Alex are my spiritual mentors. Yeah. So I live in their magical world all the time. We're like doing woo stuff together, all the witchy.
Yeah, a lot. I think you make it even more magical though. You bring in a lot of magic.
Thank you. I really do try. Well, maybe I don't even try. I think it just happens.
It happens.
So Pam, I know your backstory, but yeah. I would love if you could just share a little bit about like what got you into manifestation and the magic and the energetics, because I feel like that's what everyone needs to hear, is how normal it is.
So actually somebody asked me this on Instagram, that just like a random person. She's like, was it for, I think it was, she said something really big, like a big purpose. And I was like, no, actually what got me into manifestation was really self-serving. Because at that time, I moved out at a very young age and I was struggling. I was going to high school and working and trying to pay bills. And I have to pay rent, I have to buy toothpaste. That was a big, you know, when you move out, right? You have to buy toothpaste now. And so I knew that if I had more money, my life would be better. And so I started to go to all these psychics because I just wanted to know how my life will be better. How can I make more money, right? And what happened was I met my first money mentor. She was also a witch. And that one time I remember my car broke down. And so I went into a doom spiral. It was like, I was sitting on my couch and I was like, I can't pay for my car. I can't go to work. Then I won't have money. Then I can't pay for my car. You know, it just kind of went. And I don't do that much, but I did then. And I called her up and she's like, let's do a money spell. So I did. I knew about magic, you know, the craft, the movie, light as a feather, stiff as a board. So I've done that. I called in the wind and all of that, but I just didn't know that I could use magic for me, right? To manifest. And so we did a money spell, and literally the next week, almost the exact amount of money came in the mail for me. It was like a check from a work that I quit that I didn't pick up. And I was like, whoa, magic works. And so that was like my magical awakening. And it really started on me this on this path because I knew that I could use now this tool, this skill to help make my life better.
Ooh, I love that. And you have such a fun manifestation course. I know I've done it multiple times. I called you out in episode one or two. I can't even remember whichever one it was, where I was like, this is when I manifested $100,000 in 21 days.
Yeah, that was crazy. I think it was you were just like, I want this, and we're like, okay, let's get it. And literally, I think it didn't even take you that long. And like it just came in really fast.
Yeah, it came in so fast, and I was like, wait, what? This is, I mean, I know I'm magnetic, but like not for big things, is what I thought.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I'm like, oh no, I can manifest anything.
Yes,
You
yes.
know what? Pam and I actually just manifested a Moldavite oil.
We did. We were talking about it just randomly, and I was like, I need a Moldavite, or we're talking, and we're like, we need Moldavite oil or something. And then you sent me that Moldavite oil, and I was like, this is what we wanted.
Just from saying it to each other, like, we need it.
Yeah. I think that's what happens when you're working on your energy and you're pretty clear and you get to a level where you're accessing higher frequency and you activated some gifts. And so when you think of something, it immediately comes. And I think we all do that. We're all really powerful manifestors. But what happens is we're thinking about our programming, right? Our programming is manifesting the things in our lives that we don't really want. And so we do have to make that switch and learn how to manifest consciously and not just let our programming run the show all the time.
Yeah, what would you say for someone who wants to manifest something bigger? What could they do? Like, what could they tap into? Because I know what I would do, but I'm so curious what you would tell some newbies.
I think if you, is it money you think, or just like something big in general?
I think it's money.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go money. Like, how could someone, like, I just said $100,000, and people are probably like mouth on the floor, like, what?
Okay, so two people has told me, one is a eight-figure coach, one is my chiropractor who is really magical, and he already made like $1 million a month. So they told me to put the number you want, and I have right here my board.
Oh.
Target. So they said to, I just got this because she has a board. And I was like, I'm gonna, you just follow, you know it works. And so she said to have, and he said to have the number that you want in front of your face. If it's at your
Ooh.
shop, if it's at your office, if it's in your bedroom, wherever it is, so that you're looking at it. So your subconscious mind is like, oh, that's the goal. And then you subconsciously work towards it. And then I know that seems easy. And some of you, like Emily, probably it's gonna work
I was
because
like, I'm trying this.
yours is probably gonna work because you've already been working on yourself. For those of you that aren't really, really new, and maybe you haven't done some inner work, or you haven't done some healings on yourself, and that's where I started, that's okay. Whatever we're not manifesting is because there's a block, right? There's something subconsciously. From our ancestors, from our parents, from our surroundings when we're little, from our environment right now, from the news, from everyone. So it's just clearing and releasing and healing and then opening you up to what you desire. That's basically it. I know it sounds really simple, but that is what to do. And then also be very, very specific about what you want to manifest. So yeah, I have a number there, but I also have an experience and a feeling attached to the number. So it's not just I want $500,000, right? But what am I going to do with paper money? We're going to spend it though. So what is it going to bring me? How will I feel when I make that money? I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to fly first class, right? Yeah, I'm going to do this. I don't have kids, but some people, I can put my kids into private school, So it's like how you feel and how you're going to create an experience that brings joy into your life. Because you and me know playing and being happy is like the number one thing that activates everything.
That's so true. And I think too, when we're first kind of manifesting and working on ourselves and doing those things and the rapid things happen, wouldn't you agree too that I feel like this step gets missed, but like actually celebrating or doing something when you get the money?
Yeah, I do. I feel like people miss that step. And I do feel like that step is a confirmation to the universe, like telling the universe, hey, that's what I like. So they'll send you more of it. Because if we don't know what we want, or if they're sending us something and we don't respond to it, then, the universe is a little bit confused. And it's going to try to send you other things, or like I said, things in your subconscious mind that's already going, and you might not want it. And so we have to proactively reprogram ourselves, our beliefs, what we desire, how we feel, so that we can attract, we can send the universe exactly what we want.
Like a clear line of communication.
Yeah, I think if you want to take, okay, so I'm from Hawaii, and like it's island. So if I'm like, yeah, I live on the house with that brown mailbox. And you're just on the street, you're just trying to look for the mailbox. But wouldn't it be easier if I was like, after the right turn, three houses down, the brown mailbox is there? They'd be like, oh, exactly like that. Yeah.
That's a really good way to like tangible example of how that really works. I love that. I love that. What do you think is the biggest misconception about manifesting?
I think the biggest. Okay, so I think one thing I do have to bring up is because I think a lot of coaches talk about it being in high vibe, right? And so then for a while too, I was like buying into that, like, we have to be high vibe, like, low vibe is bad. And so I do feel like we do need to be in high frequency, at least most of the time, if we can, because the things that you desire are in higher frequency. So if you're tuning into a radio, you want to listen to hip hop. You can't be on the country station. It just doesn't work. So if you want that thing and it's on the station, we gotta tune into it. But then the thing about being low vibe, or when you're feeling sad or mad or frustrated or anxiety, because that brings you down into lower vibration scientifically, and it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just telling you that something in your life is not aligned and that you need to shift or you need to change. So that you can get back on your purpose, so that you can get back into your desire and what you want to call in.
Yeah, because you know what? I love that you brought up the low vibe thing because I feel like it's some one of those things that you feel like you if you have to be high vibe all the time, then you ignore all these emotions that you need to have. And then that just blocks and bottles you up from calling stuff in a totally different way.
Yeah, totally. And I think I feel like maybe 5, 10 years ago, we were kind of brain if you I mean, I was in this space for a while and you were too. We were kind of brainwashed to think that low vibe is bad, right? Like I used to really think that until I really understand, no, all emotions are good and we need to honor and acknowledge it and not. So if we okay, think of it this way. If we swoop poop underneath a rug, we don't see it, right? But you could still smell it. So it's kind of like that if we ignore our emotions.
Don't ignore your emotions. It'll smell like poop.
Yes.
That's so true. And I feel like because we manifest every second of every day, as long as you're in that higher frequency more often than not, it's great. Have you ever manifested something really awesome, what, from a low vibe state?
Oh. I think maybe right after a low vibe state, because sometimes right before the breakthrough is that breakdown. And, I've had long breakdowns, I have shorter breakdowns. And it's just like having the skill to get through the breakdown is really important, right? Having the skill. And that's why we take all these programs to learn how to manage our mindset, to learn how to have these energetic codes or practices to get us back in alignment. And I do believe, yeah, like right before breakthroughs, I do feel like the constriction. And I think that's a test. And we were talking about this on our call the other day, the cringe. right? The cringe. And we actually, Alex and I recently been tested on this cringe like this couple of weeks ago. So we cleared really big money blocks that we didn't even know was there, but it came up and we talked about it. We're like, wow, this is there. And we used our skills and we cleared it. And then what happened was literally the day after, my cousin told me that my mom, because I don't speak to my mom, but she called her to ask me for money. And she hasn't asked me money for 5 years ever since I stopped talking to her. But then it was like a test for me because how you feel about one thing is how you feel about everything. So was I cringing to give her money because I don't have money because I'm coming from lack? Or was I going to like set a boundary and be like, okay, this, I feel good about giving you money, but maybe like with these rules, which I didn't have before, right? And so yeah, so that came up, and so I was able to make like I knew it was it. I was like, oh, I wasn't even cringing because
You're
I
like, this
knew
is a
this.
test, it's
I knew this
working.
was the, yeah, I knew this was a test. It's like, hey, are you sure you want to be this, are you sure you want to be in this vibration, right? Do you want to go back to where you were or you want to stay up here? And I was like, I want to stay up there. So it's like, yeah, I'll give my mom money. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah, but these conditions and we figured out a way that felt really good for us.
Good. Wait, I love that. And I feel like we should talk about like the cringe and the ick factor because I feel like that was just a really big revelation that I had too with you. When you said it, I was like, oh my gosh, of course I'm going to be repelling potential opportunities and money and things and even soul clients because if I'm having this cringe over here, then why wouldn't it show up everywhere? So I feel like we should take a minute on that because I feel like that's really powerful.
So what came up actually was we were cringing about paying taxes.
Oh, yes.
Because as an entrepreneur, you pay a lot of taxes if you're making a lot of money. And it was a lot of taxes last year. And we were just like kind of still cringing about it for this year. But I think that's what we released. That's what Alex and I were working on. And we're just like, being okay with it because the more taxes you pay means the more money you make,
Yeah.
right? The more money you make. And then we're so good in tax. That's what I tell them. We're so good in taxes. And so that was a cringe for us. Can I share a little bit about your hypnosis regression?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Emily and I had a session and we regressed back to one of her off-planet lives. It was really cool, by the
I
way.
have a lot of off-planet lives, you guys.
It was cool. And Emily was going to be queen. She was not yet queen. She was like a princess. And her cringe there was she didn't want to be queen, not because she wasn't a leader, but she didn't want to have the responsibility and not have freedom, right? And then we found out that in real life, that was exactly what was going on for her business. Like the conscious mind was like, yeah, all the clients. But then her subconscious mind was like cringing because more clients means less freedom, more responsibility. And of course, that's going to repel, right?
Yeah. And it's so not true. It's like consciously I knew that, but subconsciously I was like, oh, no, we don't want to take on more. We can't take on more because that means, your slow mornings go away or like this other thing goes away. And it's none of that is true. And I loved that regression too, because then I got to go to like the end of that life and realize, no, stepping into my queenness did not make more responsibility into less freedom. It just made more fulfillment.
And what's really cool about these regressions is that we weren't like, hey, Emily needs to release this block of this. We just kind of allowed yourself and your higher self to guide you to where we needed to go. But right when you said that in the regression, I was like, ah, this was the big block. This is the root of all blocks that she's clearing right now.
Yeah, I really felt that. Man, I felt that for like days and a
Oh
week
yeah, I'm sorry.
after. It's okay. There was no podcast episode that week because I got so sick. But you know what? As we call it in spiritual land, that was an ascension moment. And I was truly like burning off that in my body, that what I was holding on to around what freedom meant to me. And it's so interesting, Pam, because I've now talked with multiple clients about it. And because again, something about freedom, and I'm like, I feel like this message, I needed to have that breakthrough right then. to help them recognize like what freedom means to them, or like worth, like self-worth, like what it means to them, instead of having it like hold them back, like
Yeah.
reframe it. So I feel like it was so good.
100%. And Emily has high frequency energy most of the time. I feel like majority of the
Oh,
time you
yeah.
are there and you're really mindful and you have all the practices and you do it and you don't usually have ascension symptoms. So I
Yeah.
think this was such a big one that it really hit, that it really needed to release from the physical body.
Yeah, don't worry, everyone. When you have releases, you don't get sick every time.
Yeah, it was just such a big, deep rooted block that we didn't, I mean, we kind of knew maybe. We probably could have found it somehow,
I
but.
could have found it, but I don't know if we would have found that root cause from that past life.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if we
Yes.
would have done that. I don't
Yeah.
know.
We don't know.
I feel like it was a huge weight off my shoulders where I was like, oh, I actually get it now.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I feel like that's the thing with the doing the work is, well, first off, it never ends, which is a good thing because you're always learning and always, up leveling and all the things. But then it's also cool because, like I said, then those realizations I had, I was able to go take to clients. Like,
Yes.
the dream.
And here's the thing about that though. I bet you when you're about to hit maybe like multi-millions, like from a million to multi-million, it might come up again. You know
Oh,
what
yeah.
I mean? Just, but
Probably.
not, I don't think as strong though. So it does, if it's a karma, it will come back because this is what you're clearing this life. But now you'll have the knowledge, the wisdom, and the tools to be like, make different choices. You'd be like, oh no, yeah, I don't need this. And life gets easier and easier and easier.
That's so true. Life does get easier and it gets to be more fun too.
It does. It does. Yeah, it does.
And my ascension was only a few days instead of like a week.
Goodness.
Wait, okay. I feel like someone asked me this question recently about being an entrepreneur, and I feel like you would have some good nuggets on this, but there's so much right now on hustle culture and doing it all and like burnout and how we're all trying to shift then into receive, but then we're losing the structure piece. So what are your thoughts on like hustle versus flow?
So, I'm glad you brought this up because it might, if I tell you what I do, you might be like, Pamela hustles, but actually, I'm working in flow because it's my energy. And so, Alex and I actually had to talk about this because we're business partners. And although we have the same goals and the same, we have the same path, but we're getting it there differently. So, she operates her planet. Us, placements is different, completely opposite from mine's. So we found out that she had to operate a little bit differently. And so for me, it's like the more work I do, the more light I produce, the more energy I produce. So
Ooh.
for me, it's like work, 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 work. I am in flow though, because so I don't have set days off. I don't have like, I need to take this or this day off because I feel like, what if I take Sundays off? But I have an idea and I want to work. And so I don't have days off. If I'm done working, then I'll be like, okay, I'm done working. I make sure that if I'm overwhelmed in my brain, I stop. But I know that I go with the flow. Like, what do I feel like doing today? So I have a to-do list, and of course I have deadlines. So I know what's important and I'll make sure I do it, but I'll kind of flow through it and be like, do I feel like doing this or this? But if you're in flow, you can work 8 hours and it feels like nothing, like literally nothing. That's why I was able to, I'm launching my biz, the all the business stuff. And of course, I just finished writing my new manuscript, which I haven't shared yet. And
Oh,
I'll share. It's Chakra Witch. So this is the first place I'm sharing it at. It's Chakra Magic. And so amazing on Emily's podcast.
was like, what a like a mic drop moment.
Yeah. So I finished writing my manuscript. I submit a proposal for my deck. And this might seem a lot to other people, but also I've built up the skill to be able to do it. So when you're in the beginning of doing something, it's gonna seem hustle, especially if you're an entrepreneur because you don't know what you're doing. But I would follow the formula that you have been given by someone who is successful. You model it, you do it, and then when you're good at it, you make it your own because then you're going to figure out your own energies and how you work. So Alex, we just found out, I post every day, right? Most of the time. I post every day. And then we just found out that she actually works better if she posts is like 4 times a week because she feels the hustle. So her energy is a little bit, she needs to receive more. But that makes sense because she's more Venus and I'm more Jupiter. So I'm just like, yeah, go, go, go. And she's more like, I need a day to sleep on it and integrate and go deep. So she goes deep and then I'm just like this way, you know? So it's a little bit different on your energy. Yeah.
She does go deep. Sometimes
Yeah, she does.
I'm like, how have you had this many mentors and like this many experiences in this lifetime? And like, you aren't that old.
But I think that's really amazing for partnerships. So even if it's a soulmate, even if it's a like significant other lover partnership. So what I learned, this is actually from Kabbalah, from our priestess mentorship, that the energy should be opposing. Not like opposing where you're fighting, but it should be opposite, right? Because one has to hold more of the male energy and one has to hold the feminine energy. And it doesn't matter what your physical sex is, but it just means the energies. And because, you know, male and female give birth. And so that's like with anything, right? Coming together in divine union. And so I think that's why we work out really well because we're like literally opposites, right?
Ooh, that's so interesting. I love that you brought that up too, because I feel like there's so much right now about going into your feminine and flow and receiving, and that's not necessarily going to work for every woman.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's important to be in flow the way that you flow because your flow is not going to be the same as, and even like being in the feminine, like what does that mean? So I do remember that at one convention, I was with my peers and they were deeper emotional, which is great because that's what they do in their work. And they were telling me that I needed to cry to release. And I was like, but I don't cry. I don't do that. And I was going through some exercise with him and I wasn't crying. And so but then after I came back to he was actually my NLP coach, but he was like, well, has your life been okay without crying? I was like, yeah. And he's like, then you don't need to cry. So I was like, oh, but then the way that I tap into divine feminine flow is I'm really good at receiving. You want to give me a free car? Yes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really good at receiving.
Better receiving universe.
And I do know how to tap into my creative flow, right? Obviously. And so I think there could be different ways, but what in business especially, or I feel like anything you do, you need the both because you need the container, the masculine structure to hold all of the divine feminine magic and the downloads. If you don't have something structural, it's just going to go everywhere. Like you can't realize that in the physical reality.
And it's so interesting just being in the online space, right? Because our foundations look so different than what you would think from a business. And honestly, I was just talking with someone about how the foundations, they take the longest to really get into place. I feel like, at least for me, but then it really allows me to be in so much more flow because stuff is already done.
Yes. When I first had to, I know, you know, I introduced myself as an author, but my backstory is English is my second language, Hawaii education. There was like, that's like no education. And I never wrote an essay and dropped out of,
Not
I
even an
never,
essay.
no, because I had the same English teacher my junior and senior year. And Mr. Lane, the best, he just made us watch surfing videos and oral book reports. And I mean, this is 2002. And so I just read Harry Potter and I talked about it. I never wrote anything in his class.
I love
Yeah,
that.
Hawaii education, right?
Huh.
And so what were we talking about? Writing? Something about writing.
I don't even know foundations and like how,
Oh, yeah.
so you said you're an author, but like this is so, everyone needs to know that like
Yeah.
to be an author, like if that's your soul's purpose and is to share in that way,
Yeah,
you are
no.
a testament to it.
So it was really hard for me to learn how to write copy. Talking about their benefits and transformations and writing well in non-jargony, magical words. That was really hard for me, actually. One of my first coach that taught me that, and he was like, this doesn't make sense. And I was like,
What?
that's what my client wants, you know? But I wasn't making any money, obviously. He was. And so I fought it for like 2 weeks. literally fought it for 2 weeks. And finally, I was like, okay, that's my ego. I let it go and I, followed him. He taught me and he edited the crap out of my sales page. And that's when I made my first 10K with him.
Yeah. I feel like copy and messaging also is something that like I struggle with and work through because you're right, because we're so excited because we know what they're going to be getting. But it's like, okay, and then how do I describe that to someone who's never gone through it before?
And marketing is an art form.
Really?
And so it is, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you do have to sell, obviously. And then you have to do what works, right? I don't know enough to try to invent the new marketing wheel or be the next marketing guru. So I just follow what works.
Yeah, that is really the thing though, is like you don't have to recreate the wheel. Like there are so many different strategies and ways of doing things out there. I think it's really like, I know you said this before, but it's taking and modeling after someone whose business you really aspire to be like, and then getting really good at that and then tweaking it to what works for you. Because my big thing when I'm helping women develop their spiritual gifts is like not everyone's gifts are the same. So I just give you one way to do this because you're not going to get there, right? And I feel like marketing is a little bit that way, but not so much in terms of like you can model after someone and then be like, wow, when I look at it, like this worked, this didn't work, or this really just like not for me. Don't want to do it.
And I think that's the thing, like we're not copying, but even art is modeled after art. You know what
Yes.
I mean? Like it's never just like one person's idea. And so if you can do that and I guess release the ego and it's not like they're better than me. They're just a little bit further along than you, right? But they've obviously modeled it after someone because I've been studying business strategies and everybody's core strategies is the same. You know, it's not something new. It's like the same and they just put their own flavor, put their own magic into it. Like you said, Emily, also your own gifts into it because someone might not resonate with me, but they're like, Emily, the way you speak, the way that you show up, they might want to go to you instead. And I do believe that we have soul contracts, like before we came into this incarnation with people that we are supposed to help. And I mean, what, there's like 8 billion, is that right? 8 billion people in the
That
world.
sounds right. Could be more even.
More, and I just don't believe that there's not like 100 people for us, you know, like or for anything, or you're not going to find your soulmate in 8 billion people. You probably have 10 soulmates
At
out there.
least 10, 8 million people, you got at least 10.
At least 10. And I think with that, it's just like you're prepping your body, you're prepping your energy to being able to hold that frequency of your soulmate, of your clients, of your success as you go through these challenges or these moments. And so, if you can rise above them, and if you can again keep that frequency high and keep bringing more like light into your body, wisdom into your body, and you'll be able to manifest anything you desire.
Ooh, that's so true. What would you say for someone who is feeling like they're trying all the strategies, but like the energy feels off with it?
Like, what do you mean? Like, is this
Well,
for?
I just think if we've got our entrepreneurs listening and they're like, but I feel like I've tried all the strategies and nothing feels right. Like, I feel like there's got to be like a block or something around it.
So I think it could be two things. It could be the energetics, or it could be like the systems itself, because unless we meet with them and we speak to
Well, yeah,
them,
we don't know what they're trying.
We don't know what they're trying or not doing or thinking that you're doing it, but you're not. And I feel like being a spiritual entrepreneur is always about pivoting, right? So there's so much new things that comes up that, you know, the change in the market. I mean, it's not drastic, but just like little stuff that you are aware of. And as you scale or get bigger in your business, there's different things to do. There's different strategy. So what happened to me in the beginning of my business, and I think that's why it took me over like 10 years to do something, I was using strategies for like six-figure coaches, but I was making $1,000. I couldn't, it was It's working and people are making money from it, but I couldn't make money because I was not at that level yet. And so you have to also make sure that you're using the right strategy at the level that you're on. It's never bad strategy, I'd say, but maybe just like different timing.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's different timing. And I think that, gosh, I was just also, I feel like I've been talking about so many different things recently, but the other one, I talked about this on one of the podcast episodes too, is that instant gratification, right? Like we are so used to like Amazon, it's literally there the next day or 2 days later at max. And we're used to this fast-paced way of doing things. So I feel like, at least when I first started, I would see those multi six figure and I would try and replicate their strategies because I was like, oh, well, I'll just be a multi six figure right away. Like, oh, yeah. Because she told me she did it in like 90 days or less. But what you don't see is like the 20 businesses that she had before that weren't successful in a way or that she scaled, in those first steps. So I think that that's really a big unlock. I feel like that I'm having for my clients is to remember like we're all at a different spot in the journey, and then how can we help them with the strategy that's like at the right moment?
Yes, exactly. And I do tell people it took me 10 years, but because I didn't have the right strategy, or it was just not the right timing. And it might look like I did my business like in a year or 2 year, but actually I was trying to build a business since 2010. And then it just kind of popped up in 2019, 2018, my time, thankfully. Hey.
Yes.
But they didn't see all of that, right? They didn't see the trying to do. I was like trying to be like a confidence coach, a makeup coach, because at the time, 2010, magic and psychic and all this stuff, it was kind of taboo. And again, like your coaches aren't always right. They could be right, but always use your discernment, because my coaches were telling me that you can't teach magic. So that's why I was doing all this other stuff, because they are like, no one's gonna buy. But when I came back to magic in 2018, when I had a coach and she was like, why not teach crystal magic? And I was like, okay. And that's when it started going, right? And you're never like married to an idea or a niche or an offer. You could change it anytime you want. I think that's what people get stuck on. Like, I need to have the perfect niche, perfect offer, and that's not it. Just go and it'll grow and you'll find what it is that you want to do.
I feel like that's so true because I started as a success coach. What does that even mean? I
I
don't
don't know.
know. I have no idea. But you're right. It grew as I was growing, as I was evolving. Like then my niche shifted and it's landed to where it is right now, but I'm not married to it. If I shift in tomorrow, like we can all shift together. And when you have everything built, your foundation's built, like you're able to kind of shift and flow with it so that you give people what they want and need. So otherwise, if you just keep selling the same, but you've already moved past it, like your clients probably have too.
Exactly. I think I started off like a crystal magic coach, and like a lot of the entrepreneurs were like, hey, I want to come into my group and talk about it. So that's what I did. And then I think I did deck creation because my self-published deck launch, and everybody was DMing like, how do you create a deck? And this is not something I can tell you in the DMs. But I kind of grew past that because I realized that's not what I wanted to do. And then it was magic. It came back to magic, of course. I think you'll have like the core element. Like yours is always, Emily's is probably always going to have mindset and magic too,
Always.
always. But we could shift. I don't know. Maybe when your soulmate comes in, you're gonna be like, I found the secret to unlocking the relationship love. And now you're gonna become like a relationship mastery coach. Or, you never know. We never know.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you said that because you're right. It's that like you come back to this kind of core piece of your business and then you get to like play with the other stuff.
And I think that's so cool. And I think that's so cool. But also, like, stick with something and try something and be with that for a while. Because if you don't finish it, if the project is not complete, and you just like go off doing all these crazy things all the time, then your energy is going to be depleted. You're not replenishing. Every time you finish a project, you finish a launch, you finish part of your cycle of life, that your energy becomes stronger.
Yeah. And I think too, you don't want to confuse your audience so much by like switch, 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 switch,
Yeah.
switch,
Yeah.
switch. It's like,
It's like,
give it time, even if you feel like it's not progressing like you thought it was going to, and you're signing like all these clients. But trust me, someone is listening for sure.
yeah. I think if you're going to go from like a health and food coach to suddenly relationship coach, and now you're going to be business coach, I think that's a little too much. And just focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that it's tough when you're first trying to figure it out because you just want to like throw like spaghetti at the wall and like hope for the best. But I think that's really good advice of like just focus in and stay steady on it. And then, oh, you know, I feel like, did you do this in the beginning of yours? I still do this now, by the way, but like market research,
Yes,
like it's
yes.
so good. Like, what do people want? I don't know. I think I do. But then
Yeah.
right, if I'm going to launch and create something new, it's like, let me go ask the experts, my audience, what do you actually want?
Yeah, I think what trips people up in the beginning, and myself included, is we get this, especially spiritual entrepreneurs, right? We have this amazing download. We know exactly, like, spirit told us this. And we're like, this is what everybody wants. But it's not really what they want. And truthfully, nobody wants self-love. Like, they need it. It's
They
something they
need it.
need, but it's not something that is keeping them up awake at night, like, oh my gosh, I don't have self-love. My life is so bad, right? They don't think of that. And so I call that like the root problem. And so you want the surface level problem that they do want because that's what their brain is going to see and say yes to.
Yeah.
So what, maybe it's like they want to feel and look better, right? But then below that it is self-love. So, but we have to bring them in with the surface desire, and then you can teach them. You could teach them confidence. You could teach them self-love. You could teach them all the things after.
Ooh, that is a, I feel like that's a really good one too, because you're right. If you are like, well, I know what they're going to get, so then I'm just going to be like self-love. And they're like, what? I don't want to come pay you thousands of dollars for self-love. And you're like, I mean, you do, but you don't know you do, but you do.
Or, if it's one of their blocks, their ego might trigger that and be like, oh no. And they might be repelled because that's what something they need to shift. But their ego is like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to stay safe right here in my comfortable spot.
Yeah.
So marketing is a little,
Marketing, I feel like we could have like 10 podcast episodes about marketing and it
know.
still would not scratch the surface because there's just so much goodness and like so much fun you can have in marketing too.
Yeah. And I think you would have to, like, if anything you do, I feel like you have to love also being on the other side of it. And what I mean by that is I am in sales. I am obviously, because if you don't have sales, you don't have customers, you don't have clients, you don't have a business. And I love it. I love being sold to. I love it when, Instagram ads pop up to the thing that we're talking about. I'm like, yeah, I needed that.
Like,
And so, yeah, and I love it when coaches sell me. I love discounts. And so I do think that you have to love, again, the cringe thing. If you're cringing at ads, if you're cringing at Instagram, and that's your tool, your vehicle to get out your message, then it's probably going to cringe back at you.
that's so true. I had one girl who was actually a former client of mine, but she had slid into my DMs about ad sales, and I was like, oh, like, yeah, I'm not really, I don't really know if I want to do ads yet, but give me your pitch.
Later.
Like, I would love your pitch though. Please do. She gave me her pitch and I was like, wow, that sounds so amazing. I'm so proud of you. Like, I'm good. And then she kept pitching and I was like, girl, whoever gave you this like DM script, like give them a gold star because this is so freaking good. And I love that you're continuing to push and sell to me even when I've told you no. It wasn't like the before days when I would get the ick and I'd be like, no, I've told you no. Like, go away. I was like, this is really gold. Like, who is telling you these things? Like, I love this. Like, what else you got?
I mean, I do appreciate a good sales pitch, and I'm not put off. That's what we're doing, and we should be happy in the industry that we're at. And if you don't like it, that's okay, because I wasn't on Instagram. I wasn't on, maybe on Facebook, but I didn't do anything with it. And I learned how to love it, because it was part of my business, because part of my business had a vision. I had a vision. And so I learned how to do stories. I learned how to speak. English. When I first came to Vegas from Hawaii, because have you ever been to Hawaii?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you have. And so, they talk a little bit with an accent.
Yes.
Okay. And so when I first came to Vegas, I remember my coworkers were like, later, they were like, oh, we didn't even know if you're speaking English. And so, yeah. And so I was never a speaker. I didn't do stories. I didn't do videos. I'm still not super good with tech. I know how to use Zoom and Instagram. That's all I know. I can't even do Canva. Like, okay. So you don't need, I think you
So it's
don't need to
Alex
love
building
it.
all the Canva slides, right?
She does. Yeah, she's
She's so
good.
good at it.
She's good. Yeah. You don't need to, I feel like you don't need to be good at anything. You don't need to love it, but you need to learn how to love it and know how to do it and get a coach. Watch YouTube, whatever, read a book. If that's your passion, if that's what you really want to do.
Yeah. And I feel like too, when it comes to, oh my gosh, by the way, your soul dog, Honey, has been in my lap this whole time,
Hi,
up and
honey.
down. I had
That's how I sleep.
And she is literally snoring up a storm. So I was like, oh, Honey's always in the podcast episodes, snorting, snoring, sniffing. But she's really putting one on for all of our guests today.
She's my soul dog. So I showed Emily a picture because my boyfriend likes to take pictures of me taking naps. I think he just thinks it's funny. But
They
there's.
are funny. I saw the photos.
I didn't send you my recent. I have to. My
Okay, I saw the
recent
recent.
one was like I was still typing on the computer but sleeping. Did I send you that? Oh, I
Send
better show.
it
Okay.
to me. That's so
Yeah. But she's like, this is Honey. And she sent me pictures of her dog and it exact same positions.
good. Exact same position. I was like, this is your soul dog. Okay, I have your soul dog right here.
You do.
She just distracted me though. I was about to say something to you, and then she let out the biggest snore, and I was like, oh my goodness. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Oh, when I feel like when it comes to like social media and showing up, would you say it just gets easier the more you do it? I feel like it did for me.
Yeah, I think it's the easier the more you do it. And yes, there's strategy, but if the strategy is too much, it's just to come on and follow your guides or follow your heart or whatever it is and do that first because that's going to get your energy out. If you're happy doing it, if you're having fun doing it, that's going to be more important than following any strategy. But as you like it more and as you are growing, then I would definitely implement more strategy into it so that you're again, like the direction thing, right? We're not just like getting on and be like, blah, here's a free reading. And then
Like
what?
what?
Yeah. So it's good in the beginning. Do whatever you want. Post pictures of your dog. Just get used to it. And then start posting pictures of you and talking and videos. And then start following strategy when you get comfortable for that.
I know we just did, what was that? Did we do a 33-day story challenge?
Pacing challenge. Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, I mean, I'm on my stories almost every day anyways, so I love a good challenge. I'm like, let me just go on there and like talk about,
You won.
yeah, I did win. I won the 60-minute session with you. I manifested that. I was like, I need 60 minutes with Pam. Give it to me.
Yeah, that was, yeah. And I remember I forgot to announce it. And then you messaged me and you're like, because I knew I won. I was like, yeah, you did.
I just want to make sure that actually happened. But I think what's really great about that is, yes, like you're being seen every day, but I loved how we also had it like some type of call to action. So it wasn't just like, hello, here I am with my dog snoring. It was like, here I am with my dog snoring. And also, I just recorded this amazing podcast episode with Pam, and you could come on my podcast too. Like, yay, whatever. It didn't have to be like so serious where it was like, if you don't know what your offer is, but I feel like that'd be such a good challenge for newbies to just go on there. It disappears in 24 hours. Like, what do you have to lose?
I remember my first story. I was still working at the casino and I was like before work and I was in my car and I was doing, this.
Yeah.
And it took me 30 minutes to record a 3 minute like story because I just kept deleting and deleting and deleting. But that's the greatest thing about it. You can delete, if you don't like it, you delete it.
That's what I
So,
like about recording this podcast. I'm like, what did I say? Oh, I stumbled. Let me re-say it. Delete.
yeah, but. So when I went on this retreat and I was with like one a bigger influencer, I think she had like 100,000 followers,
Oh.
and she said you have to do stories. And I was like, I'm gonna do stories. She convinced me. I was like, yeah, I'm doing stories,
I'm in.
right? I mean, if someone who has already succeeded is sharing with you their secrets and their tips, then why not do it?
That is so true. Yeah, if they're literally giving you free gold, you take it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's the thing too. I think you and me are really good at it. You know, we are very coachable. We follow the steps and then we do it. And then once we know it, then we make it our own, like we talked about earlier. Then you can be like, okay, so what she said worked for me, what not? And you can start like curating your own funnel, your own energy, your own system. Yeah, it's different for everyone, right? Everyone's really unique. But the core things are going to work for everyone. Yeah. I really believe that.
I agree with you. I feel like the core things, and then you just tweak the few other smaller, minor pieces, and then it's like success.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. I feel like we could talk about all these things for hours and hours, but instead I'm going to ask you one more fun question.
Okay.
Okay. I asked ChatGPT to give me some fun questions. Like, I want like something just like so off the cuff. And this is the one they had. I was dying laughing earlier at it. Okay. If your energy had a fragrance or vibe, what would it be called?
Oh, okay. So it would, okay.
Like,
so
oh,
what
I
would,
already know.
What would it be called? But I know what it would smell like. So I'm just gonna, it would probably be called cotton candy. Because
Ooh.
That is what my essence or what my essence is like cotton candy. I've envisioned it and felt it and smelled it before. Yeah. So cotton candy. I do have a weird, you want
Your
to
mic
know
cover is cotton candy.
I was like, do you want to know a weird, it's not weird, but
Yes.
A weird fact. Okay. So I forgot the name of it, but I was actually in Jonas Brothers' music video. It's like First Love or First Kiss, the one they shot in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I was the one pushing them the roulette chips. So
Oh,
I'm in the music video. Yeah.
Wait, you're already famous.
Yeah. In the 2 seconds in Jonas Brothers video.
Amy Fortune coming from that. Wait, I love that. I'm gonna go watch that video after this.
It's like First Kiss or First Love or something that they filmed a while ago in Las Vegas. And I think also Jason Statham movie. I know it was in Jason. Like the house one, the gambling house one. It was really crappy movie. No offense, Jason Statham. We love you. But it was like when he walks by the roulette wheel, he looks at it and I'm on the table next to him and I'm just like a blonde blurb. Like, that's me. That's me though. I was there.
I love
that's me.
It. You have lived so many lifetimes.
Yeah.
In this one.
Yeah.
From Vegas strip movies and music videos to now.
Yeah. Well, you know what the cool thing about that was? So they had to use the workers, the dealers, because if you're an extra, if you're not licensed with gaming, you can't touch the chips. You can't be behind the table. So they had to use us, you know? Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that, but that makes a
it's
lot
like a
of
special
fun.
Extra or something.
Yeah. Wait, did you actually get paid?
No. We got paid for one that we weren't in. Yeah, it was like our job. But we got paid for this one for some USA show that we had to go for like 6 hours. They did pay us, but we weren't even in it because they used like the dealers from Caesars. They brought us over to be used, but they didn't use us. We just got free buffet too.
I was like, free buffet and free money. Like, not so bad in a 6 hour day.
Yeah, it was good.
Wait, I love that. I have not been in any movies that I'm aware of, but because I lived in LA for so long. So I was like, I don't know. I probably could have stumbled into something at some point, but I was in the audience of After the Final Rose. And I was in a camera spot, so I was on TV a lot.
Yeah.
I have really good reactions, it turns out.
did they make you do that? Or
well, my friend was the one who we got tickets to like go in with because she had worked for the Oprah Winfrey Show and then Steve Harvey.
Wow, that's
and
cool.
Steve Harvey's like audience team was the one who did After the Final Rose. And so they were like, you and your friends, you guys are cute. I'm gonna put you in a camera spot and we need you to have like really good expressions. And I was like, I did theater my whole life. Like, what are, oh, we're shocked. Oh my gosh, are we laughing? Ha ha ha. Like, I'm in.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I
I
love
think from the
that.
next season too, and I was like, I wasn't even in that audience.
Oh, they just liked her reaction so much, huh? That's really cool. Wow. Yeah, I'm in like random thing, like Extreme Vegas or something, Extreme
Yeah.
Trips. I don't know, it's like something extreme. And so they like interviewed, because we were like party pit dealers, and they interviewed us and they were like, what is the most extreme thing customers have said to you? And I think I was like, haha, they asked me to marry them. But then they took that clip and put it in all the hotel rooms. So people would come down and find me, be like, you're the girl. And then I'd be like,
Oh,
what
wait.
girl? They're like,
What?
you know the TV that opens up when you get to the room? It
Yeah.
was that, it was, I was there for
Oh,
real. And I was like,
wait, I
damn, it
love
was like
that.
really embarrassing. Yeah.
I love it. You're like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Everyone was finding me.
Yeah. I think it's our Leo sun, huh? Do you
I
have a
think
Leo?
so. Do I have a Leo sun?
Don't you, or Leo something, I think I remember your chart, it was
Like,
something
I don't
Leo
know.
good.
You
Like you
guys,
were
we're talking
set
about
up.
Vedic astrology charts, which I don't know mine fully. I just know my ascending one because you guys think it's important.
Yeah.
Either way, I really am a big ham and I like to be on TV.
Yeah. I could see you. Yeah.
Yeah, fame and fortune
Yeah.
in Rich Witch Land.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, fam, I have loved having you on. I want to give you a couple minutes though to tell everyone where to find you. And if you have any latest offerings that we should know about, please do tell.
So you can find me on Instagram, Pamela Unicorn. And I have my newest book out. It's Wealth Witchery. Yay.
Stop.
And also, Alex and I have our deck, Galactic Star Tarot with Hay House. And we are running our manifestation program, Money Magic Manifest. It's 5 weeks live manifesting with Alex and I. Maybe you'll manifest 100K like Emily. And we're starting in the ending of August.
Yeah, get in on this program, you guys. It is so good. I've manifested so many things in the program.
Good. Yeah, and it's coming back in alumni, of course. Yeah.
I'll be in it again so everyone
Yeah.
can
I
see
think
me too.
you're already in it.
Oh, yeah, no, I was like, I'm already in it.
Yeah, you're already, yeah, because
Yeah.
Emily, yeah, Emily's already in it because
Yeah, I'm
she's,
already in. I'm like,
yeah.
when are we doing it again? Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
What else can I manifest? I'm gonna
Yeah.
manifest love this time, I think.
Ooh,
Unless I meet
okay.
him before it starts, then I'll pivot.
Yeah. I feel like we had a timeline for you from the Vedic astrology reading.
So I may meet him before, in which case I'll pivot to money.
Yeah.
All good things. I love it. I love it. And you guys, it'll be in the show notes too, how to get a hold of Pam. Make sure you give her a follow on Instagram and check out her offerings. They are so good. And I love that Galactic Star Tarot. You gifted it to all of us for my podcast launch party, and it's so good, you guys.
Yay.
So good. Everyone that has it has been talking about how much fun they're having with it.
Oh, cool. It's actually World UFO Day, like the day we're recording
World
this.
UFO Day.
Happy
I know you guys are
World UFO
listening
Day.
to it and it is actually not World UFO Day when you listen, but happy UFO Day when we recorded. I love it. Thank you so much, Pam. I so appreciate having you on as my first guest ever.
Thanks, Emily. Thank you to the pugs.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for having me on.
That's a wrap on today's podcast episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, or give a 5-star rating on Spotify, depending on where you listen, and share the magic on your socials. Tag me at the Rich Witch Next Door so I can send you some love. To explore more, make sure you check out the links in my show notes. And as always, stay magical, stay powerful, and stay sippin'.